Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the fourth day of Sivan, Tavshin Pe Gimel. Masechta Shkalim, Perek Shmini, Mishnah Ches. And the last Mishnah of the entire Masechta. Evorei HaTomid, the limbs of the Korban Tomid, Nitonin Mechatzi Chevesh Olamata B'Mizrach, were placed halfway up the ramp, but on the eastern side of the ramp. The ramp was 32 amos long, 16 amos wide. So in the half and the 8 amos on the east, you'd be putting the limb, they would put the limbs of the Korban Tomid halfway down. That's in the first 16 amos from the going up the ramp. They would not put it all up in the same time. They would put it first there in the position we just mentioned, and then they would go in to read Shema, as they went into the Lishkas Hagozes, a special chamber, and afterwards they would come back and put them on the Mizbeach. Vishel Musafin, the limbs of the Korban Musaf, on a day that there was Musaf, like Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh, Nitonin Mechatzi Chevesh Ulamato B'Mariv. They were placed on the first half of the ramp, the lower half of the ramp, but on the western side. Shel Rosh Chodeshim, what about the limbs of the Musaf Korban of Rosh Chodesh? The Musaf Korban, that is, Nitonin al Karkov Hamizbeach Milmala. They were placed on the surround of the altar on the top. There was a place where the Kohenim could walk between the corners of the Mizbeach, and that's where they would put the limbs of the Musaf Korban of Rosh Chodesh. What's the reason? The Gemara explains, and that is to, in order, the Yerushalmi here and Bavli and Sukkah explains, it's in order to publicize the fact that today is Rosh Chodesh. Hashkolim v'habikurim, the shekel and the bikurim, the shkolim that were brought to fund the korbanos tzibur, and bikurim, which was brought to the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, ein noigin elfnei bais, are only applicable when the Beis HaMikdash was up. Bikurim, the shkolim, because if there's no korbanos offered, there's no Beis HaMikdash, you don't need the shkolim. Bikurim, because the Torah says, Tovi beis Hashem alakecha, bring it to the house of Hashem your God. If there's a house, you bring it. If there's no house, you don't. Others say, because it says, you shall put it down, lifnei mizbeach Hashem alakecha. If there's no mizbeach, then you don't put it down. However, there is a difference between when the Beis HaMikdash was up, between shkolim and bikurim. Shkolim were given by everybody, living in Israel and outside. Bikurim was only given from fruits of Eretz Yisrael. Avol masa dogon or masa behemah, but the maisa that one gives from grain, the truma and maisa of grain, and the maisa behemah, that means that the separation or the setting aside of one out of every 10 animals that have been born that year. A person has to march them Indian file and strike the 10th one, and the 10th one is holy. And the mitzvah of the kedusha of a firstborn animal, noyagin ben bifnei abayis ben shalei bifnei abayis. This applies whether the Beis Mikdash is up or whether it's not up. There is kedusha there, and what's the reason? Maaser dogon, the taking maaser, is because the kedusha of the land of Israel has not gone away. Maaser behema, the giving a tenth of the setting aside a tenth of each newly born animal, is compared to Maaser Dogon. If Maaser Dogon applies even when there's no Beis HaMikdash, so does Maaser Behema. What about Bechoros? Well, Bechoros, firstborn animal, that's a Kedusha that exists on the animal as soon as it's born, right from the womb. It's a Chavis Haguf. And therefore, the Bechor, Maaser Behema, are Kodesh even today. What do you do with it? You can't offer it. So what you do is you wait till it gets a blemish, and then you can eat it anyway. The Gemara brings down that the Chachamim were mevatel Maaser Behema. They said, no, we don't want you to do Maaser Behema. Why? Because they're worried that until the animal develops a blemish, in the meantime, a person could be stumble. He could do an aver of shearing it or working with it. And you're not allowed to work with a Maaser Behema or shear it. So because of that, they said, no, we won't want you to do, don't do the Maaser Behema. Don't march them out and get a tenth of each one, and etc. Or maybe a person might shecht them before mum occurs. With the Bechor, however, the Chachamim had no power to be mevatel it, because Bechor has nothing to do with us. Bechor, the Kiddush is not up to the person to make it a Kaddush or Bechor. It's automatically a holy as soon as it's born. So they couldn't do anything. That we have to wait until it gets a blemished animal. There are other ways of doing it. One can sell a mother animal before it gets given birth to a goy, but that's not discussed here in the Mishnah. Hamakdish shekolim ubikurim. What it means if a person dedicates, he donates money for a shekel or fruits for bikurim nowadays when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Harizah Kodesh, says the Mishnah, yes, they will have Kedusha. What do you do with it? You leave the fruits until they rot, and the shekolim have to be put into Geniza or they throw it in the ocean. That's the Tanakhama. So the Tanakhama says that they do have Kedusha if a person donates today for the shekel. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ha'omer Bikurim Kodesh Einan Kodesh. If you say, I declare this Bikurim as Kodesh, it won't even be holy. The Torah says clearly, you shall bring it into the house of Hashem your God, and therefore, even b'di'avad, if a person is makdish, if he dedicates the fruits for Bikurim today, there's no holiness on those Bikurim. In the Yerushalmi, there is an opinion that says that Rabbi Shimon also says that Shkolim will not be Kodesh as well. The halacha is indeed like Rabbi Shimon. What's interesting about this Mishnah is that the beginning of the Mishnah is rather strange. The Bateres Yisrael actually asks, he doesn't know why, how this whole din about where the limbs of the Tomid were placed, whether it goes, doesn't seem to have a connection between the previous section of the Perek. It's possible that maybe it was learned here because we mentioned in the Mishnah Dalet of this chapter that they would spread the peroiches on the itztaba, on top of the balcony, on the porch, in order people shall see how nice it was. So maybe now it also tells us that the limbs of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh were placed on the top there on the Mizbeach to publicize the fact that it was Rosh Chodesh. There's other possibilities as well. Hadron Allah Masechtas Shkolim. And we start a new Masechta, the Masechta of Yuma, or Yoma as it's called. Yuma deals with the great day, literally means the day. It's the day of Yom Kippur that we refer to. It has 8 chapters. The first 7 are going to deal with the avoda of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. The last chapter will deal with the laws of fasting and Shuvah and Kapara. Says the Mishnah, Shivas Yomim Kodam, Yuma Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. Shivas Yomim Kodem Yom Kippurim, 7 days before Yom Kippur, Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeisai. They would separate the Kohen Gadol from his house. Literally, from his house, it means from his wife. We don't want him to become Tomei by coming to contact with her, she might be a Nida. And if that would happen, there's trouble, because the only one who can do the Avoida in the Mikdash and Yom Kippurim is the Kohen Gadol. So we don't want him to become Tomei. There are also hints to this, or we learn it out of a pasuk. By the 7 days of the installation of the Mishkan, it says, "Mi Pesach al Moed lo seitzu, you shall not go out for 7 days." And it says, "Kasher, as you did in this day, Hashem commanded, lachaper. Lasois is paraduma, that for the paraduma too, the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen who burned it, also had to separate himself 7 days from his family. And Lechaper also includes the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, to separate 7 days beforehand. So where was he separated from? Continues the Mishnah, Lelishkas Palhedrin, to the chamber called the Lishkas Palhedrin in the Azara. Or some have the Girsa Parhedrin in the Gemara. It has Parhedrin. It's a Greek word which means officers, the king's officers, the chamber of the king's officers. Now, originally it was called Balvuti, which means the noble, the Lishka of the nobleman. But after the Kohuna Gedola, that position became abused in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, people would buy it for money. And unfortunately, they're people that were not up to scratch. They died. They didn't survive Yom Kippur. Every 12 months, he had another Kohen Gadol there. So therefore, they called this chamber Palhedrin. It was like the officer of the king's nobles who were continuously being changed. There was every year. They called it Lishkas Palhedrin because of that. Or maskin eloi kohen achatachtav. They would prepare another kohen to be the kohen gadol, as just in case. He'd be waiting there in the background. Shema Yarabo psul, in case something goes wrong, there's a psul in the kohen gadol, he becomes Tommy, for example, then they would use this kohen gadol in his place. However, they wouldn't go to the trouble of separating him for 7 days, because this whole hafrosha is not b'di'evad, it's not going to stop or prevent the avoda anyway. So they didn't go to the extent of getting the substitute kohen gadol, or the one who's waiting there in the wings. They didn't separate him from his family. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afisha acheres maskin alei. They also prepared another wife for the kohen gadol before Yom Kippur. Why? Shemo Thomas Ishtai, in case his wife would die. And if his wife dies, then he cannot do the avodah of Yom Kippur. Shenemar v'chiper abadoi uvad beisoi. He shall atone for himself and his household. Beisoi zo ishto. Beisoi means his wife. If he has no wife, he cannot officiate. Now, the Gemara explains that really he can't have two wives, because it says bad beisoi and not shnei botim, not for two houses, not two wives. So what would he do? How could you prepare another wife and not have two, and not be married with two wives? So what they did was, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll soon see the Chachamim argue with this, but what they would do is, they would go to the Kohen Gadol, give him another wife, and say, here, marry this wife. This will be your wife in case the first wife dies. But he would give this wife now, right after the Kiddushin, he would give her a get, effective now, in the event that the first wife doesn't die. So if the first wife doesn't die, then this get will be effective from now. Then he gives the get on Erev Yom Kippur also to the first wife, the one he's married to currently, with the condition that if he does something, then it's effectively going to, then it's going to be lemafreya, it'll be a get. For example, maybe on the moment I step into the shul in Har HaBayis, this get is going to be effective. Now, how does this help? By giving these two conditional gitten, he's covered on both bases. If the first wife doesn't die in Yom Kippur, well, that means he's only been married to one wife, because the get he gave to the second wife will be activated immediately before Yom Kippur. He only had one wife. If the first wife dies, then all he has to do is go into shul, do an act, just at the time, whenever he can do that. And then by doing that act, it turns out that the first wife was divorced right from the beginning. And at Yom Kippur, he only had the second wife as a wife. Either way, he's covered both bases. He's only had one wife on Yom Kippur. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Omer lo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, no. No, no, no. Im kein, if you're starting to worry about dying, ein l'davar sof, there's no limit. Maybe the second wife would also die. So the Chacham hold, we're not worrying about dying, we're not choshesh levisa. It's unusual that a person's going to die, but for a psul of tumah, that is something that could happen. And then we're more worried about that, and therefore we would prepare another kohen gadol instead.